Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that you'll make this very simple and understandable and put the words in my mouth you want. And Lord, whatever's of me, we don't want it anyway. It's no good for anything. So, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for all the miracles you've done, the ones that we haven't heard about. But we thank you, you are Lord, you are King. And teach us, Jesus. We love you and praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Genesis 2:15. And I had something completely different I was going to share with you this morning, but Friday night we were speaking to the youth, and during worship God showed me some things that we needed to, well, this will be not a rerun, but it's going to be added to what he, if we get that far. But you know, God gave man a purpose. He didn't put us here to just vegetate and live a life, good life, happy life, whatever, and then just go on. I mean, that's not why God put us here. He put us here with a purpose. And in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And you see more and more, especially in America, that I think people think work is a curse. It's like, this is something I have to do to exist. This is something I have to do, and I have to press in, and I have to suck it up, and I have to go make money to keep my family going. And that's true. That's good. We should do that. The Bible says not taking care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. So God's very strong about taking care of business, isn't he? But, you know, the curse wasn't work, because God said, I want you to tend the garden. I want you to take care of what I've given you. The curse came when sin came and man bowed down to sin and he ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the curse wasn't work. It was toiling. It was thorns and thistles. It was working and toiling by the sweat of your brow. You know, that was the curse. But Jesus came and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I'm not saying the earth, well, of course, the earth is still, a big chunk of the earth is still under Satan's dominion, you know, but we are free. We are free of that. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we know Jesus, and Jesus sets us free from the curse of the law. He became a curse so we could be free. And in Nehemiah 4:6, and you can just listen to what I got to say. We built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And I looked up about the wall that went around Israel, and it was in shambles. The gates were all the gates were smashed and burned up, and the wall was falling down, and it was in shambles. And the children of Israel were exiles. The enemy had them in bondage. But Nehemiah took a little crew, and he came to restore and rebuild the wall. But the length of the wall was 2.5 miles. The average height was 39 feet. The average thickness was 8, almost 9 feet. The wall contained 34 watchtowers and 8 gates. So the wall was huge, a huge amount of work for them to do. And the enemy was there. The enemy was fighting against him the whole time that they were trying to rebuild the wall. And it said they had a sword in one hand, and they had a trowel in the other hand. And they were working, even though the enemy was there to try to confound everything they were doing. And you know, it's the same with us. You know, the enemy is trying to confound everything we try to do in the kingdom of God. But we got to have a sword in one hand, and we've got to have a trowel. We've got to be working with the other hand. We can't just lay down and go, oh, the enemy's attacking me. Oh, woe is me. We can't do that. He has given you authority. He has given you dominion over the enemy. Praise the Lord. Y'all agree? Hadn't he? Yeah. We don't always use it, though, do we? John 4:34-36, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." So Jesus said, my food, what sustains me is to do the will of the one who sent me. And when we become children of God, when we become born again, we take on Jesus' mission. He has sent us to do the greater works of God. He has sent us into this world to reclaim what the enemy has stolen. It's like what's going on up around in Scott County. I know y'all heard Scottsburg is like a huge outbreak of HIV because of heroin and dirty needles. And I don't know how many cases there are now, but we're talking little small, we're not talking about Chicago or New York, but a huge outbreak of heroin addiction and people being plagued with this devil disease. And I thought it was interesting. We've been praying with several churches for the past few years in the Highway 150 corridor and believing for revival and trying to put other people and pastors and churches above ourselves is what that's what our heart is to do. And God sees that and he is pleased. But I heard from Peggy Boldazar Nunley. Y'all know her. Mighty woman of God, been going to the nation since she was 16 years old. And they started a church in Scottsburg, her and her husband. And somehow they got the word out that Scott County needed desperately intercession and prayer. And I don't know how many churches were involved, but 250 people, which may not sound like much, but in Scott County, that's a formidable amount of people. They surrounded the courthouse, and they went into intercession. They blew the shofars. And I'm believing God's going to turn around. I believe God's going to send revival, because where the enemy's pouring it out the hardest, you know, he's going to send revival to Nepal, you know. We've got ministers that's been through here that's ministered in the Himalayas. Kevin and Denise Reed, you know, they've ministered in the Himalayas. So praise the Lord. We must work the works of him who sent us. Praise the Lord. In James, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So God gave man work. I want y'all to wrap your head around this. God gave man work as a blessing. Hello? God gave man work as a blessing. That's not the American teacher. Really, it's not. And I'm not only talking about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about monetary, making a living. Like God's blessing your husband and his business because he's under that blessing since you've become born again, which is how long now? This past year. I mean, God has set this young lady free of some stuff. And there's more. And now, you know, your husband seeing the goodness of the Lord. And I've met him. He's an awesome, nice guy. He's one of the nicest people, nicer than most Christians. He just needs to take that step. And it's coming, praise the Lord. It's coming because he's watching you and he's seeing good fruit. And our husband and wives should look at us and go, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, you know. So praise the Lord. It's okay, Jason. It's not always, man. You know, it's all right, man. God gave man work as a blessing, but sin and rebellion made it a curse. I know y'all have, not everybody works with their hands, but I think especially when you've worked hard all day and you've actually accomplished something, it's hard to look at paperwork and feel like that sometimes, but when you've worked hard all day and you've accomplished something, it's like, man, you know, I feel good. I feel like I've accomplished something. Well, you know, in the physical, that's an awesome thing. When you put in a good day's work and you give your employer, you give him his money's worth or her money's worth, you know, we should be ashamed when we don't give our best, because they look at that and go, oh, they're believers. Praise God. They're hard workers. They're laborers. I can trust them. And God will give you promotion. But of course, we want to talk about the kingdom of God. God has given us a job to do here, hadn't he? And way too often, have you ever, I know if y'all been in a work environment very long, you've probably heard somebody say, when something doesn't get done, or something's not right, or something gets fouled up, you'll hear something like this. It's not my job. You ever heard that? You ever said that? Not my job, man. And sometimes the church gets into that mode too, you know. Not my job, man. I'm not the pastor. Not my job. I'm not supposed to go out and talk to people about Jesus. It's not my job. I'm not the healing administrator. I'm not supposed to go out and do this. Not my job. I'm not the intercessor. Oh, yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, you are. He said to go into all the world and preach. Who was it said? And if necessary, use words. I don't think I always agree with that. But you know what? We ought to be a light. People should be drawn to us, shouldn't they, man? In a good way. They might get convicted and get an attitude with us every now and then, but it's like, man, you ever notice people at work that know who you are and they know where you're coming from and they watch you live righteously, right? And when there's dirty jokes and stuff going on, you just kind of, you walk away from it. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. And they might make fun of you. They might do all kinds of things. But guess what? When a family starts falling apart, when there's sickness, when there's brokenness, guess who they come to? They come to the heathens telling the nasty jokes. No, they come to you. And I'm not getting on people for doing that, because they're just doing what comes naturally. I did it. I was lost, you know. But when I came to Jesus, man, he said, there's a better way. Right? Praise the Lord. So God gave man work as a blessing. God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And God gives us a mind to work. I don't think work in the kingdom of God, you cannot work up a mind to work. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he pours out and he gives you strength to do things you could never do. He gives you authority to do things you could never do. And the coolest thing is the weaker the vessel, the greater the praise that Jesus gets, you know. The weaker the vessel. People don't look at you and go, oh, they're talented. Oh, no. Look, that's all Jesus, you know. And that's how he wants it. If you're weak, praise God. It said when you are weak, what? He is strong, for his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Right? You didn't mention November. That's the Dave Hogan jump. Y'all don't get it. Dave Hogan's coming. Yes! Y'all are going to be challenged. God gives us a desire to work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. God has given us time to work. says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no one can work. There's a time coming when we're going to get to rest. There's a time coming when we're going to be in glory, praise the Lord. There's a time coming where there'll be no more sickness, no disease. And all we'll do is we'll be around the throne room of God, we'll worship him, and I believe we'll fly, we'll do all kinds of amazing things. But until that time, it's time to work. That's payday. You know, praise God, it pays to be a Christian, but that's the ultimate payday. I can't believe you're here, brother. This is awesome. The reason I say that is every morning when I wake up, Donna gets up for me because she drives a school bus. So she gets up real, she gets up at 4. She don't need to get up till 5 or 5:30, but she goes in there and spends time reading the word and praying. And if I come in there a little bit early, I'll hear your worship on the CD player. Just pulls in, it's just this part of our house. I'm sure it's all memorized in the walls. All that God has given you. And I'm not lifting you up, but I'm lifting up what God's. Love that worship, man. Love it. I can remember I went to Red River Gorge and to spend a couple of days one time, and I camped right out on a cliff, far out as I could get on this cliff. And I was interceding for my son, and I was listening to one of your, can't remember which album it was, but just over and over and over, and it was just, y'all need to get some of that. It's good worship. Good pressing in worship. And number 5, if I'm not putting numbers on it, but God has given us a command to work. God has commanded us to be laborers. God has commanded us to go out into the fields. And Jesus rewards everyone who works. And, you know, even the ones that come in at the last hour. And that can just hack people off sometimes. I've been working for all these years in the church and the kingdom of God, and this upstart comes in and just, phew. Isn't it cool? Isn't it cool the way God's going to pay wages to everybody that works? No matter how late we started, Buster. I don't know when you started. You probably started and fell back a time or two, didn't you? Working for the kingdom. I did. I'm not pulling you out. You know, I started at 15 years old. I didn't really do much work because I fell away by the time I was 16. But when it's time to come back, you got to labor, 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 because you love it. 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 If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you will work the fields. Because there's nothing, Mary, that you'd rather do than see somebody come to Jesus. There is nothing I would rather do than see somebody come to Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, and it ain't work no more when you see the harvest. It's no work at all. It's like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And it's ease. You can do it with ease, praise God. So I'm excited. I want to thank y'all for supporting that food. See, that food pantry behind that black wall right there. Well, they're all black walls, but right behind that wall is where all the food and everything is. And they come in here through that door, and Rachel will be praying with some on this. See, we'll just go wherever. And God, I know God put you in some hard cases a couple of weeks ago. Not hard cases, but just stretched her because she hadn't been doing it that long. But God said, you better take over. I'm like, you can handle it. You can handle it. But, and Nina, I know, and the ones that work back here, in fact, it's all in all. Everybody's working the harvest. But there was I got a phone call 2 weeks ago, and this guy said, my dad has got terminal cancer. And I said, yeah. He said, well, he's been to the food pantry and got prayer before, and he wants you to come out to the hospital and pray for him. This guy is 64 years old. So I went up to the hospital to see him, and we talked, and we prayed, and I asked him, have you ever given your life to Jesus? He's going, no, I haven't. And he understood. And he said, yes. And it was amazing because 2 or 3 days later, he's back home and the son calls and said, "My dad, he's just kind of afraid. He needs somebody to pray with him." So I went over there and I asked him if he'd ever been water baptized. And I said, "That's not going to save you. You're as saved as you're going to be. But, you know, you need to do that if possible." He said, "Oh, I want to right now." And there was probably 20 family members in there. And I mean, it was a congregation of lost and backslidden people. I mean, which was, and I'm not getting on them. I'm just telling you their state, okay? And the son said, "Oh, I'll go get a cup of warm water," because I knew we couldn't put the man in a bathtub or something. I said, "That'd be okay." And so he brought the cup of water out, and I said, "You know, we prayed a little bit." And I said, "You know, we need to sing a song." I said, "I bet y'all know this one." And started going, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And pretty soon, all 20 people, and they all knew that song from Bible school or Sunday school or something. They all knew it. And it was sweet. It was sweet as any worship I ever heard, you know. And then we baptized this man. And I told everybody that believed or had believed in their life, "Come over there and put your hands on him, because we're going to believe God to heal him." And they just rushed over there because faith rose up in them, not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God. I'm believing for Gerald to be healed in Jesus' name. But even if he isn't, he's going to heaven, praise the Lord. And so I went over there the other day, and I thought, "Well, I need to take him communion." So took him communion. I said, "Have you taken communion before?" He said, "No, I never have taken communion." I'm going, 64 years old. This can't happen in America. There's enough religion where this should have happened. But we took communion, and it was sweet. But I'm just telling you, God's going to use y'all to do relationships. All you got to do is love them. All you got to do is love them, and God's going to do the rest. And when I say work, all I mean is be willing to do what the boss says. You know, that's all you got to do. And he's not a hard taskmaster, man. You know, he's not at all. He'll never put more on you. So I would like you to just say yes. Yes to whatever Jesus asks you to do. And we're small. But I really, really believe that by the time this summer's over, you know, people coming in to speak to us are just going to be encouragement to us, because I believe we're going to be in the fire of revival. And we'll even give them something to take back with them, you know. And that might sound odd, and you can look around and go, well, you know what? Sometimes when you're not working, you don't feel like you're a part of things, you know. So we just need to be ready to say yes to what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Yeah. Yes, you may.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you go ahead.
I'm going to jump out of my skin sitting there eager to. When you said we just need to love people, that God showed me something about 4 weeks ago. I'm really struggling with my sister, but God showed me about 4 weeks ago that we need to pray for insight in how to love these people, the hard cases in our life. He said that you can pray, you know, bless them, but we need to pray for him, insight, for him to give us wisdom so that we can physically know how to love them in the way that they need to be loved and to receive that love.
Amen. That's true. That's true. Go to Luke 14, verse 15, and just read along with me, and I'm going to close. Luke 14, 15. And I know when Steve Hill said that, you knew there was another 45 minutes, but I'm not. Let me know when you got it. Got it? Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses." Did you notice they come into one accord? And they began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported those things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited will taste my supper." When we presented this to the young people the other night, about working, I told them, you know, our job, God has planted us in this little wide spot in the road with one traffic light, Greenville, Indiana. He has planted us here, and he wants us to go in and work and get the harvest. And you know what? They started getting excited. There was only eight, but they started getting excited. And they started, and afterwards they come up and said, "Hey, we could do this and we could do that." They want to do like Vacation Revival School, where we have a full day, an evening and a full day of ministering and skits and worship. And she said, "I can do this." It was Zoe. She said, "I can do this." And you know, the idea came up that maybe we could first off bring in the town board and just everybody that works the government in this city, bring them in and feed them a meal and just love on them and pray for them. And they're excited about that. They're willing to work that too. And they're willing, I believe, down the road, praise God for food pantry, but I think one night where we could just bring in people and feed them, you know, just bless them and feed them and love on them. And I'm not looking at you, Janet. I'm not looking at some of y'all, because you've got enough going on. I've got enough going on, but God is going to lift up laborers, you know. God is going to bring in the laborers. Most of y'all are pretty busy. But you know, I forget who I heard say this one time, when you're too busy for God, you're too busy. And I'm not talking about works to be doing works. You need to spend your secret place time with Jesus first. That's the most important thing. But the overflow of that will be God using you to do incredible things that you never could even think or imagine. So let's stand up. I love y'all very much. And I'd just like to ask you if there's anyone here that, like Gerald, the man with terminal cancer, we're believing terminally healed. Praise the Lord. But like him, no, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. No, I'm not walking with Jesus. No, I've fallen away. If you need to come to Jesus, or you need to recommit your life to him, and I'm not making recommit. When you recommit, you go, "Yes, this is the way. I'm going to walk in it by your grace, Jesus." So if anybody, if you need Jesus, come up here. If you need prayer, if you're sick, if you're tired, if your soul needs to be restored, come up here. Let us pray with you. But if you got a mind to work, you need to come up here. And if you want God to give you a mind to work, you just need to ask Him. He will give you a mind to work. So if that's you, in Jesus' name, come up here right now. Holly, put something on, sweet. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. I just want to bless y'all. If you got to leave, Lord, bless these saints. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless them with the goodness of God. Lord, give them favor. Give them favor with men. Give them favor with everything that they lay their hands on and touch. Let it be blessed. Let them be able to preach the gospel. Let them lay hands on the sick and see them restored. God, show yourself strong because you love them, you love them, you love them. And let them know how much, Holy Spirit, let them know how much they are loved. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
This is pure love. This is holy fire. This is the real.
You afraid to ask Him to give you a mind to work? I call something.
It's righteous desire.
Boy, it sure will feel good at the end of the day. It'll feel good. Jesus. What about
this is holy.
Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus.
This is the real thing.
We bless you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
It's righteous.
We love you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord.